Hi, damn, damn.
Know how to talk like a Terminator.
Good morning. Today is Monday, March 4th. I am your host, Dina Jim, coming to you live from the DJ Bevel Studio, located in Monahans City, Colorful, Colorado. Hello, baby. Hello. On mic. Welcome to the program. We're great to have you with us today. You're listening to this later on the download. You taking the time to download, hit that follow button so you can join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 7:45 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. And I have the best people in the chat. So I hope you guys had a great weekend. Everybody's here nice and safe. Today is Motivation Monday. Oh, I have a whole lot of motivation going on. We will see. My head is killing me. I was cleaning. I was organizing the office / workout room. Let me turn this down. Because the realtor told us, hey, Barry, that, to have like all the workout stuff in one room and have, try to get everything. We have boxes that are going to storage so that when we have, get to the time when we have an open house, it's more organized. So I was doing that, and these closets have the old bifold doors, which I have to paint. But I was trying to get up in there into the shelf to clean off the dust, and I whacked the hell out of my head. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I have a big old knot on the top of my noggin. Ugh. So anyway, that's what I did this weekend. Today, in Denver, let's do the weather. It is currently 23. It feels like 12. It's really cold. We are expecting sunny skies and a high around 50. For my family out there in Canada, Mr. Enigma! I love it when you come in. And it's so good to have you with us, Barry. For my family in Canada, it's 47, mostly sunny skies, high of 70. Whoa! I want that. We had that a couple days ago. We had 2 days that were close to 70 and then the snow the next day. It was like, damn, smack you in the face, wake you up. It's still winter. Elwood City, Pennsylvania for BP, 51 and clear. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 75. And lastly for Michael in Elkton, Maryland, 51 and cloudy. Expect sunny skies, partly 64. And you're going to get heavy rain tonight, so watch out. Cats don't like rain. They don't like getting wet. So watch out. This Thursday for connecting through movies and soundtracks, we will be watching the documentary Lemmy. I kept saying Remy. It's not Remy. It's Lemmy. Lemmy. and gosh darn it. What is he? Motorhead? Is he Motorhead? I'm learning, guys. I've never done this, been into this type of music before. I think he's Motorhead, right? And so, yes, thank you, BP. So we'll be watching that, and I'll be learning a lot about Lemmy and everything that he that helped do into music, writing songs for other people, contributing to music. So it'll be fun. So that'll be this Thursday at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. We try to get the free ones that we can watch. We've tried different programs to try to show the movie live on Facebook or the documentary that's free on my Dina Joe podcast Facebook page, but it wasn't going through without stopping every 5 seconds. So we're trying to figure it out. But until then, we're watching free ones that we can all kind of start at the same time. And then we, as somebody said before, I think we're all fine here. We all shoot the shit here on Podbean while we watch a live movie. Shoot the crap or something. So anyway, that's what we'll be doing on Thursday. And so I like to start the day with the word of the day. It's not that long. It's vision. It's your vision, having a vision. The ability to think about a plan for the future and imagination or wisdom. And the quote that I have is, a vision is not just a picture of what could be. It is an appeal to our better selves A Call to Become Something More. And that is by Rosa Beth Moss Cantor. So what does it mean to have a vision, y'all? Most of life is full of uncertainties. This is especially true when it comes to the future, but you can hold on to a vision of what is yet to come. You can boost your chances at achieving your dreams and becoming more successful. According to the dictionary, vision is defined as the act of power of imagination. When you apply vision to the future, you can create a mental picture that can be used to direct your actions. When you have a clear vision of what you want to happen in your life, when trials and challenges and turbulations come, which they will, you end up making better choices and decisions. I'm kind of learning that right now, going through with my mentorship kind of thing and having a schedule and sticking to the schedule. But man, when you do that, I tell you what, everything comes and tries to get into those times that you've set aside to do something. Something will always come and try to get you off of the path that you're on. When you have a clear vision of what you want to happen in life, I already said that, it provides you with something to look forward to, a reason to keep going. If you do not have an end goal in mind, then you won't have a clear path when times get tough. And that's what I was just talking about. So let's listen to what this person has to say about vision so I can drink some coffee, because I need to drink some coffee. It always goes away. I don't know why it always goes away. We have three on vision. I think it was this one I wanted to play. Let's see. Hi, Lou Rock. How are you?
When you make the decision, and I want everybody to hear me on this, even the adults in the room. When you make the decision to do what you want to do with your life, just know this. Because the family and the friends in your life do not share your vision, in most cases, they will be the first person to try and talk you out of what you want to do with your life. But know this, only those that can see the invisible can do the impossible. So because they don't see what you see, doesn't mean that you're supposed to settle and not do the things that God has sent you in your mind and your spirit.
To turn nothing into something, you start with ideas and imagination. So imagination, we call it nothing simply because nothing in terms of being tangible. But it is so real, it's almost real. So the first step is to imagine the possibilities. And now here's the second step of turning nothing into something. And that is to believe that what you imagine is possible for you.
Thank you, Mike.
We call that second step faith, to believe.
Thank you, Mike.
Faith is substance. Substance meaning a piece of the real. Now it's not the real, but it is so powerful that it's so close to being real, that it is possible to turn nothing, especially ideas and imagination. Now, if you believe that it's possible for you, that substance and evidence becomes so powerful that it now can be turned into reality. Now, here's the third step, and that is to go to work and make it real. You go to work and make it a podium. You go to work and make it a hotel. You go to work and make it an enterprise. You go to work and make it good health. You make it tangible. Now, here's the last part. It takes the disciplined activity to turn nothing into something finally. Faith without the activity serves no useful purpose. But faith invested into the activity creates reality.
You gotta have a vision. A vision for what it is you really, truly want. Not what you think you want or what you should have. I mean, what are most people's New Year's resolutions? I'm going to stop eating sugar. You know, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. The problem with that is it's not very inspiring for most people. It has to be a compelling vision. It's got to have something that has the power to pull you, not something you have to push yourself to do. Those are two different kinds of motivation. Push requires willpower, and willpower never lasts. What will last is pull. Having something so exciting, so attractive, so something you desire so much that you have a hard time going to sleep at night, you get so up early in the morning to rock it and take it to the next level.
So we have to remember a vision can consist of personal goals, physical health, like you said, career goals, and other aspects of life. No matter what aspect you choose to focus on, you can define and attain your vision when you are determined and focused. And I totally believe that. Like I said, it sometimes is hard. Like he was talking about, you will have family and friends come against you and say, oh, you can't do that or whatever. Don't ever let that. I had allowed that to happen to me until I was 58 years old. You know what I mean? Until I was able to start reading things and investigating and looking into things and thinking, you know what? I can do things. I can do things if I put my mind to it. A few of you have seen a picture that I of stuff that was taken out of my back in 2010 for a back surgery that I had that went wrong. And I came across it while packing. And I think about how deep in the pit I was at that time when I had, and it looks like it kind of makes me want to vomit. It just, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that came out of my body. And I can't even imagine what's still in there because they had to put even more in there to hold up what was going on. But I was able to pull myself out of that pit and accomplish little by little goals and goals and goals. How many 5Ks and 7Ks and things that I've done? Yeah, I can't run them, but damn well I can finish them. You know, I had doctors tell me, you can't do these things. You're not going to be able to do them. And am I in pain? Sure, I'm in pain. But you know what? I can do it. I get up off my butt and I put my mind to it and I set a goal and I'm doing it. And just like, I'm doing the one for my father-in-law who is fighting lung cancer. I'm doing the 1,998 stairs at Coors Field on April 27th to help find a cure to fight lung cancer. And I am not good at stairs, but damn well I'm doing them every single day. I'm up to 36 flights of stairs, but you know what? It's gonna be painful, but I'm setting a goal and I'm trying to accomplish something every day, and you can do it too. So just, I believe in you, put your mind to it, whatever, pick a small one and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to every day accomplish something to get closer to that goal, into that vision. So I believe in you. You got this. Anyway, let's move on. I have a couple of jokes. And thank you, Mike, for those gifts. Those will be donated to St. Jude's Children's Hospital as soon as I get paid from Podbean. I will send that out to them. The joke, and that's for the whole year of 2024 too. I'm doing that. I always feel like paying it forward. I will get more. Hi, South Eyes, man. I think that paying it forward, I will get more of a benefit from it. Helping those young children that are fighting for their life. So yeah, just remember, God doesn't put anything on your plate that you can't handle. Glad you're still with us. Oh, thank you, Mr. Enigma. I know. And you know what? And I believe you're, I absolutely totally believe that. And all of you should believe that too. And there's times in your life where you're not going to believe it. Like I said, you'll be in that little pit, but you just got to pull yourself up. Surround yourself with good people too, because it's always freaking helpful. You help them, they help you. That's how you get through life. So, all right, our joke of the day, just in time, Mr. Ozman. Let's see. Were you able to add your PayPal? I hope that what I sent you worked, because that's all I could find. All right, here's the first joke. Why did the architect have such a hard time finding a job? Because his career was in ruins. Ba-bum-bum. I know. Here's another one. What did the bigger chimney say to the smaller chimney? You're too little to smoke. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I hope it helps. It has like a step-by-step thing for you to do. So, okay. Don't get in trouble. Trending. Again, if you guys, hello, E-H-A-A-X-X-K-X. Good to have you with us. I hope it helps, Osmian. I hope it helps. I hope that's exactly what you needed. What's trending? Okay, back to Mr. BP and Podbean Podcast Nation on Facebook. If you haven't already gave him a follow or have, you know, been able to go in there and post your podcasts, go in there and check them out. Again, Bam Bam and I will be back on Thursday at Tuttles, I should say, for you guys. Should be back on Thursday watching Lemmy, the documentary. So I'll have that information out too. Okay. Let's see. All right. This really pissed me off when I read this. I talked about this recall probably, I don't know, a month ago. Our Cuddles. Yes, Mike, Cuddles for you. It was on the applesauce pouches for kids, little applesauce pouches, and how they were saying back when I talked about it that they may be have lead in them, so they were being recalled. Now, after the FDA has done some investigation, they are saying that it was done intentionally. Who does that? Who does that? Well, let me tell you who does it. What's his name? His name is on here. Let me see if I can find it. Because they actually put his name, which I thought was kind of crazy. Carlos Aguilera is the probable source. It says that it's coming from the cinnamon that they use to put in the applesauce pouches. This just totally, oh my gosh, it made me so mad because my granddaughter eats these. I don't think she eats the cinnamon ones, and it's not this particular brand, thank God. But other kids have, and they have gotten sick from it. And I just don't understand people. So it's the report is lead toxicity symptoms in children who consume the cinnamon flavored applesauce prompted the voluntary recall of the Wanabana label products. I wish they would say where. I thought I looked to see. It just says 44 states. It doesn't say which states. Maybe let me look on the Center of Disease. Let me see if it says on here. So it also says it has chromium in it too. Lead and chromium. No, even on their site, it doesn't say the states where they're at. So I'm not sure, but I don't understand how people can sleep at night. It's just crazy to me. It's just crazy to me to think that this person knew what he was doing in order to get people sick. And I mean, I know it happens all the time. It just irks me. So I'll post that. It's Wanabana. It says one of them says Wise. WEIS. I'm not sure. I'm guessing that's the company. I don't think it's the store. And then it's that Wanabana one. So Carlos Aguilera. I wonder how, normally they don't put the names on there like that. That's kind of crazy. Hi, Raven. Good to see you. So another thing that kind of made me mad too. Remember last week or so we were talking about Wendy's supposedly going and doing the dynamic pricing. Well, I guess that it happens all the time, but in our grocery stores, and I had no idea. But if you think about it, how many times have you gone? This happens a lot at Walmart. We were talking about it. We'd get something off the shelf and you'll look at the price and then it goes and it rings up as more money. Well, Target, it says that dynamic pricing, where are all the stores? It was Target, Walmart, this whole thing is talking about it. What is dynamic pricing? It's the strategy that businesses use to manage the changing supply and demand for different products and services that they sell. Other terms that describe the same business strategy include surge pricing and time-based pricing. pricing. Unfortunately, as a consumer, dynamic pricing can have a meaningful impact on your budget. If you're shopping for a household item, toy, or product that is in high demand, a retailer might increase the price of that product to try to increase profits. Even groceries could cost more at certain times of the weeks thanks to this practice. And it's saying that it's legal. Which stores? Okay, here we go. Amazon is one of the biggest ones, it says. And Target, Walmart, Best Buy, Kroger, which is out here, Kroger is King Supers, and others. They said a 2019 investigation found that Target app users paid higher prices while shopping inside a Target store versus shopping outside in the parking lot. The theory was that the shopper inside the store were more committed to making the purchase and therefore more likely to pay the higher price. Isn't that crazy? I would think that it would be the other way around, that they would give you a deal because you're coming in and buying it and they're not having to have somebody go and take it off the shelf and get it ready for you. It makes no sense, but it pisses me off. And so I guess, and I kind of looked at these little apps that they talked about. I just kind of opened them up and looked at them. I didn't go into them fully, but they said that there are 5 different apps that you can look into that I guess give you coupons and kind of help you around this. Again, I didn't look into it fully, but one of them is Honey, H-O-N-E-Y. The other is Scently, C-E-N-T-L-Y. The other is Flip, F-L-I-P-P. The next one is Price Pulse Capital One Shopping. And I guess like Capital One, the card. So I don't know if it has something to do with just that card. And the next one is Slick Deals, S-L-I-C-K, no space, and then D-E-A-L-S. And they will help you to get past that. Man, aren't they just constantly just trying to stick it to the man? Oh, you work so hard for what you have. And it's like, damn, you read these stories and you read the things. It's happened a million. And another thing they said that you can do is you're shopping is to take a picture, a photo of the price. But what if you have 50 items in your cart? You're going to take 50 damn pictures and then make sure that it rings up at the same price that's on the shelf. It's crazy what you have to do to make sure that you're getting your money's worth. You know, nowadays it's just insane. It's just insane. I don't know, but it's crazy. So dynamic pricing, I'll post this whole article on the Dina Jo Facebook page, along with the applesauce recall, with the lead poisoning in it. I'm just going to mention this because I mentioned China taking them back. Remember when I was talking about China, that all of the pandas in the U.S., which I had no idea, are actually owned by China, and they either were gifted on loan, you know, gifted like, we're gifting you this panda for your zoo, or the zoo had to pay a monthly or yearly premium to China to have these pandas. Well, what was it? A month ago, 2 weeks ago, China said, no, we're taking them all back, and started taking all the pandas back from the U.S. And so then now there's this big story about China is once again sending pandas to the U.S. and to San Diego, to the San Diego Zoo and the D.C. zoos. And they are happy. But when you read the article, they have to jump through all these hoops in order to get it. Plus, it's like a lot of money. But I guess they're getting the money from, you know, the entrance, the zoo fees. I don't know. But it's just crazy. Because first of all, I had no idea that the pandas were on loan in the first place. But they are. So they're coming back. If you want to see pandas, you have to go to those two zoos. All right, let's get into, I wanted to look at this one too, and I didn't have time to look into it. National holidays. If you know a GI, it's Hug a GI Day today. It is also National Sons Day. I have two of them. If you have any boys, or you are a boy. Most of you are a boy. You are a son. So happy Sons Day, y'all. You all, BP, Oz, Tuttles, Mike, Tuttles, Bam Bam, y'all. If I want to see a panda, I'll watch Kung Fu Panda. Oh, yeah, it's on right now. There's a new one of Kung Fu Panda. I've been seeing the commercials. Jack Black looks kind of crazy. He's all gray. He's turned all gray. and you know what? The first thing, I'm going off topic here. And Oz, you can tell me if you've heard of this or if anybody else has heard of this. That people with really gray hair, they say like when you start to get gray hair, you think it's just like a normal old thing. But from what I'm reading, it's a copper. It's having a copper deficiency, which I would have to look into it more. So don't just start popping copper pills or taking copper. I don't know how I'm guessing there's a supplement for it. But supposedly, gray, that's one of the symptoms of a copper deficiency is gray hair. I had no idea. So that's kind of crazy. And then another thing too that I thought was kind of crazy that I was reading about, man, went down a lot of rabbit holes this weekend, that cats have like healing priorities. Is that how you would say it? They were talking about how the purr of a cat, how the decibels of the cat's purr and the way that it feels, you know, like cats will come up on you and they'll knead you with their little paws. It all has like healing effects to it. I thought, oh my God, that's insane. That's crazy. But that's worth looking into, you know. I've always liked cats. Lewis. Oh, yes, and bees. Oh my gosh. Maybe that's why I felt so good when I had all those bee houses in my little beehives in my backyard. I had five of them, and I loved being out there with the bees. So that's kind of cool to think that a cat could heal you. You know, have that type of power. I said we'd have to name it Allegra Azurtec because Lewis is allergic. So, hey, Allegra, come here, little kitty. Get over here. Get up here and give me some of your purring. I had no idea. I think that's pretty awesome. I mean, just to think about it, it's pretty an easy thing. Well, I mean, you'd have to feed them and stuff, but I love cats. But then he goes, yeah, we'd have to get one of those Maine Coon cats. They're cool. And I'm like, yeah, that's what Tuttles has. It's half of his size. He holds it up and it's half of his body. This cat is huge. But yeah, cats. MA cats purr always helps me feel better. See? That's why. It's because of the frequency that they call it? Ozman? My cat used to purr on my back. Is it the frequency of the purrs and how loud it is and stuff? I wanted to send it to you, Bam Bam, but it's from X. So I couldn't get it. And then the cats purr and what they do and stuff. Because the one guy who was investigating this guy who was posted all this stuff about it. He's like, I didn't believe it, but the more I looked into it, like the Egyptians and you know how Egyptians always had cats and stuff and they used it to help heal people. So that's amazing. I had no idea. So yeah, let your kitty come over and purr on you and stuff. It's just when they come over, you see those cat videos when you get the cat that looks like it's gonna slap the heck out of you the next day. So yeah, anyway, I'm thinking about I want to get a kitty cat when we move. I want one so I could use it. Oh mean lady, I love you so much. Did you hear that? You guys, Tammy's in here, my mean lady. I love you. I hope that you're doing okay and got my messages. I know that you are busy and going through a ton of stuff. So I'm here for you. You know that. We all are. We love you. And we've all gone through it. So we know what you're going through and are here for you. Virtual hugs. Big, 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 big virtual hugs for you. But I was just talking about kitty cats and how they have healing they help heal you. Their purrs and stuff. So I didn't know if you knew that. She has a bunch of kitty cats. She saved a little kitty cat that got almost hit by a car too. So she brings them home just like I used to. Oh, I love you, mean lady. I'm glad to see your face. I just wish I could be there. She's with me right now. See? And they know when you, they also know like when they need you, you know, when you need them, I should say, they come around and they're with you. So, yeah. Oh God, I wish I could hug you right now. All right. We'll do a couple of, get back to these holidays and then we'll get into music. So National Sons Day, if you have any sons, Brain Injury Awareness Day. Like I hit my damn noggin yesterday. I don't know what I did to my brain. Fun facts about names. That's what I wanted to look into. That would be kind of cool to find out what your name actually means. But it didn't give me a link to look at it. Let's see. Holy Experiment Day. Did you know that the Holy Experiment Day is about the story of founding of Pennsylvania? What? What is this? BP, did you know about this? Holy Experiment Day. Holy Experiment Day is the annual holiday celebrates on March 4th to encourage general tolerance towards religious practices different from ours. Well, we're okay. It was established in Pennsylvania, and ultimately the United States was based on religious tolerance, diversity, and representative government. Okay, so it started in Pennsylvania. It's Ida's Day. If your name is Ida, that's an old name. You don't hear those names very often. It's March 4th. The 4th be with you, everybody. Let's see. National Backcountry Ski Day. If you're into that, or you can do a National Waltz, National Marching Band Day. Quentin, it's his day and it's also Ray's day. So, man, there's all kinds of days. How many damn days are on here? National Safety Day, National Snack Day, Old Inaugurational Day, Play With Your Toy Soldiers Day. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Play With Your Toy Soldiers Day. World Day of Fight Against Sexual Exploitation, World Obesity Day, and lastly, World Tennis Day. So there you go. All of your days for you. We are going to just get into some music because I think we can all probably use it. I'm trying to finish off this list of 165 songs that were banned after 9/11, and we're almost done. I think probably three or four more days and we'll be done with the list. So let's see if everything matches up today. And I think I finally found out why my tablet was going to the Alexa instead of playing on here when I wanted it to play, but hopefully it won't do it again. We'll see. All right. So the first song that I have on the list today that was banned is Jetliner. Kind of makes sense by the Steve Miller Band. Steve Miller talked about this song in the Book of Guitar Greats. Airliner is a tune written by Paul Penna, who's a blind artist and writer who met with through Ben. Paul had been involved with Albert Grossman, but things didn't work out very well, and he had to leave Paul feeling pretty bitter about the music business. I particularly liked Jetliner, so I worked on it and reshaped it into what it became. And it turned out to be good friends with Paul because I got him off the streets into a better existence. It was good for me because at the time I was really on a streak on the radio stations. We had 6 top singles run right after another, which is the way you should do it if you're going to do it at all. All right. I saw a tune that would fit and I used it, he said. Okay. Here is Steve Miller Band, Jetliner. Jet Airliner.
Out in the road, up and down the floor. Running along on this big old train, I've been thinking about my home.
Well, I love my team so far away, and I feel like it's all gone down.
Somebody's trying to make me stay. You know I've got to be moving on. Oh, they don't get me to fall away. Oh, don't get me to fall away. Cause it's here that I've got to stay. To all my friends at home, goodbye to people trusted. I've got to go out and make my way. I might get rich, you know, I might get busted. But my heart keeps calling me backwards as I get on my 707. Right now, I've got some tears in my eyes. You know, you got to go through hell before you get to heaven. Touching down in New England town. Feel the heat coming down. I've got to keep on keeping on. You know a good thing will keep us spinning around.
So Paul Pena died on October 4th, 2005 at the age of 55. He went through some rough times when royalties from writing this song were his main income. In 1995, he traveled to Tuva and learned the art of throat singing, a journey that documented in the 1999 film Gignes Blues. I'm going to copy that and put it in the chat. It might be interesting to look up. Jet Airliner, Steve Miller Band, off the album Book of Dreams, 1977. It charted number 8 in the U.S. and number 3 in Canada. It's amazing to me that a lot of these songs, when they charted in Canada, they usually charted like they liked them more than the U.S. did. And I kind of thought that was kind of crazy because I never, like I've said this before, I've never thought of Canada as being a place where like music, hit music comes from. I don't know why. I always just thought it was from Europe or, you know, places in the United States. But no, Canada was really into music. Just like this next girl, Alanis Morissette. The song is Ironic. And I think the reason why they banned this one is because it talks about a plane coming down. So the song's usage of the word ironic attracted media attention. According to John Farrell of the New York Times, it gives a distinct unironic sense in its implications. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, irony is a state of affairs or events that seems deliberately contrary to what was or might be expected, an outcome cruelly, harmoniously, a strange at odds with assumptions or expectations. From the perspective of the lyrics, such as it's a free ride when you've got to pay, a traffic jam when you're already late, this is thus not ironic. Morrison said, for me, the great debate on whether what I was saying is ironic wasn't a traumatic debate. I always embraced the fact that every once in a while I'd be the Malaprise queen? I'm saying that wrong. I know I am. And when Glenn and I were writing it, we definitely were not doggedly making sure that everything was technically ironic. So here it is, Ironic, Alanis Morissette.
Radio. You're the winner. Now you're fighting for freedom. What's a flight to fly? Back to suitcase. Kissed his kiss goodbye. He was his whole damn life to take that flight. And the plane crashed down. It's like radiation. When you're already late, and there's no smoking sign on your cigarette break.
So at the end of the song, Alanis says, life has a funny, funny way of helping us out in spite of all the bad stuff that we go through. The bad stuff helps us where we're going, and that is ironic. Ironic, Alanis Morissette. Set off the album Jagged Little Pill, 1995. It would chart number one in both the U.S. and in Canada. I know a lot of people don't like her, but I like her. All right, this next band, Mudvayne. I've never heard of them before. I might have heard the song. I don't think I have. Keeps wanting to spell check it. The song is Death Blooms. I wanted to put it in the chat so you know who I'm talking about. Hi, Mike Leon. Welcome. Mudvayne. I think that's how you say it. All right. Mudvayne's lead singer, Chad Cud Gray, said in an interview about this track, the song is basically about being okay to die. You have a sense of self-fulfillment before you're already able to go to the other side and be prepared for it. Everything we write is about the process of being human. So this is just one more thing, he said. So here it is, Death Blooms, Mudvayne. Yeah, I definitely haven't heard of it. I do so many of these songs, I can't remember which ones I've heard it listened to or not. But no, definitely not. It seems when the end of the corridors almost thick with the reach, walk off the day. It's awesome. That's what he's saying. Oh my gosh. Chad Gray's lyrics on this song were inspired by his grandma, Betty Ray, and how she was neglected by her family because she was getting on in her years. How terrible is that? Just because she was getting older. She had profound influence on Chad's life, raising Chad and used to bring him to local choir where he learned to sing. That's funny. Betty Ray passed away in 2005 after battling cancer for several years. My grandma was an angel and she was everything to me. So that is Death Blooms, Mudvayne, the album LD50 2000. All right, turn that off. All right, we're gonna move on past that one. Traveling Man. I don't understand why this one was put on there. Ricky Nelson. Singer-songwriter Jerry Fuller wrote it with Sam Cooke in mind, but Cooke's manager was unimpressed and did not keep the demo, which eventually wound up being passed along to Nelson. The song details the love of the world traveler with an eye for beautiful women. Songwriter Fuller had described it as a girl in every port song. The woman in each locale are referenced by a word in a phrase associated with the location. All right, let's give it a listen. Traveling Man, we all know this one, Ricky Nelson. Oh, much better. Thank you. Oh, Mike, you liked my singing, huh? Hey, Tulin. Thanks, Mike. Hey, Serendonis, how are ya? I know you're singing, Oz. I know you are.
And my Chinatown and in old Hong Kong.
Wait for my return. Pretty Polynesian baby,
all over the sea.
I remember the night
when I walked in the sand of Waikiki and I held you all so tight.
Wow, Mike! Mike! Oh my gosh, Mike! Oh my gosh, those little children at St. Jude's are gonna be so happy. Thank you so much. Wow, Mike, is that a glitch? Thank you. All of that's gonna go to the children at St. Jude's. Thank you so much. I'm not supposed to play this whole song. The women were a pretty señorita from Mexico, an Eskimo from Alaska, a Furilin in Berlin, a China doll in Hong Kong, and a Polynesian in Waikiki. Traveling Man, Ricky Nelson. U.S. and Canada both charted at number one. I love that music. It reminds me of my mom. It does. She loved that type of music. All right, the next song I have is 99 Loof Balloons. This reminds me of K-Rock, Mean Lady. Nina, this was one of the songs in the 80s to make a point about the brinkmanship and paranoia hysteria surrounding the Cold War. In the song, Nina and the listeners buy 99 red balloons in a shop and let them go for fun. These balloons show up on the military radar as unidentified objects on both sides scramble planes to go to full alert to counterattack the previous nuclear attack, when in fact it is the most childlike of all things, a bunch of balloons. Here it is, 99 Loof Balloons, Nina. Thank you, Oz. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Mean Lady. How many times you try to sing this song like you know the words, but you can't. You don't know what the heck they're saying. Did you know? Can you still sing it, BP? The words? I bet you it kind of comes back to mind.
Ha 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 ha!
The song, though difficult to understand, is about the dreams of the German people that were lost after World War II. The 99 balloons represent the many dreams each person had. At the end of the song, Nina wants to prove that the German people did have dreams by finding just one balloon. She does find this one balloon, a dream, and lets it go. 99 Loop Balloons, or 99 Red Balloons by Nina. The album 99 Loop Balloons, 1983, the year I graduated, charted number 2 in the U.S. and number 1 in Canada. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. You know, that's such a good song. Head Like a Hole, 9-inch Nails. This song is about the control that money has over people and the pain and suffering associated with it. God money is just that. Money has become a god unto itself, especially in the capitalized societies like America. Trent Reznor is basically saying he'd rather die than give in to the temptation. Here it is, Head Like a Hole, 9-inch Nails. I was just going to say welcome to that person, and they left us in a bit. That's a hard name to pronounce. They know what they were trying to do. So Trent Reznor said about this song that it's pretty much about yelling at the beast without putting a face to it. Head Like a Hole, 9-inch Nails, off the album Pretty Hate Machine, 1989. It would chart number 28 in the U.S. All right, mean lady, this next one will bring back memories, you and me. Dead Man's Party, Oingo Boingo, Oingo Boingo. growing up, oh my gosh. Let's see. This song is about attending a funeral and being buried. You wouldn't know. You think it's a happy little song. The lyrics make a few clever references to it, even from the opening lines of all dressed up and nowhere to go, walking with the dead man on my shoulder. Later, Danny Elfman sings, got my best suit and my tie, shiny silver dollar in an either eye. I hear the chauffeur coming to the door, saying there's room for maybe just one more. Being dressed in his best refers to the tradition of dressing the dead in their finest clothes, and the silver dollars were weighted on their eyelids. I had no idea. The dead would pay the ferryman to cross the river Styx from Greek mythology. So that's all Greek mythology. Here is Dead Man's Party, Oingo Boingo. Oh my gosh, I love these guys. It's all Greek mythology.
I'll dress up and know where to go. Walking with the dead man over my shoulder. Walking on a party with no one's good. Waiting for an invitation to arrive. Going to a party with no one's still alive. I was struck by lightning, walking down the street. I was hit by something last night in my sleep. It's a dead man's party, no good else for more. Everybody's coming to
So the song is one of Oingo's Boingo's most loved by fans, and the dancing skeletons became one of the most recognized symbols of the band. That's for sure. They're a big California band. I'm sure there's other places that love them too, but man, us California people love Oingo Boingo for sure. All right, so we're going to move back on. Oh, and BP sent me, he sent me a link. I was like, oh my gosh, that would have been so much fun. That would have been so much. We saw him at Lions Country Safari. When Lions Country Safari closed and it became a concert place. Oh my gosh. All right, so BP sent me a link that says what your name, the meaning of your name is. Remember I was talking about the meaning of your name? My name means judgment. It's judgment in Hebrew. It says the meaning judgment, Hebrew. It's for a girl, Dina. Let's see what else. It's, oh, I don't want to do that. And then I'll look up some more. Dina, Hebrew, meaning judgment. A humble human being. Oh, that's true. All right, I'm gonna look up some more names too while I play the next song, and I'll put them in and I'll look up your guys' names and tell you what they mean. All right, the next song I have is The Night Chicago Died. Now this one reminds me of my dad. He used to play Chicago all the time. This song tells a story about the notorious gangster Al Capone and his men having a shootout with police. There's plenty of debate as whether or not the story is true. Mitch Murray wrote the song and cleared it up. As the co-writer of the song, I felt qualified to settle some of the questions posed by the comments. My writer partner, Peter Gallagher, and I, both British, and it's true, we'd never been to Chicago at the time we wrote the song. Many other parts of the U.S., but not Chicago. All right, I'll talk about a little bit more about the song after I play about it. But it's funny because one of the houses that my dad... I don't remember if he bought or rented it or whatever, but this house that he had was on farmland in Chicago in this little town. My brother and his wife still live in the town. And it was an old Al Capone house, and the house across the street was one too. And the one house across the street had the big, you know, what are those things that they make corn in? But that's what it was one, but they used to make alcohol. And in the home, you would go into the closet, and the closet, part of the closet you could feel would move. And when they were redoing parts of the house, and it was the stairways, the getaway paths to get out into the cornfields when they were having big parties or whatever, and the cops would come. They had these little getaway paths in the house, and they were in closets, and they had them kind of, you know, they only went so far in the house, and they bricked them up, of course. But the guy that lived across the street had all the cutouts from the newspaper on these two homes. So it was pretty kind of cool to be there and know that all this stuff went down in this house, you know. And you kind of imagine, oh my gosh, what kind of parties, what kind of things happened in this house, you know? And it was all cornfields all around this home. And I remember being young, and I was always scared of the children of the corn coming out of the corn to come and get me. So yeah, that's a little bit of my history with Chicago. Here is the night Chicago died, please. You're part of Tamara, and you're meaning you're a palm tree. That's what this says. Meaning palm tree. Or twin palm tree. Your thing. I'm looking at names. All right. Having been brought up on a tasty diet of American gangster movies, the term East Side usually meant the seamy side of the city. Of course, looking back, it used about New York, not Chicago. We actually, I mostly blame Peter because he had the last word on the lyrics while I had the last word on the tunes. He said, we obviously a little careless with our research as we were when we wrote about Al Capone fighting the forces of law. I really don't think that even happened. Apparently, the cops were nearly all on Al Capone's payroll, he said. The night Chicago died, Paper Lace, charted number one in the U.S. and number two in Canada. All right, mean lady, I don't know why you're a palm tree. You're a twin in a palm tree, it says. And then BP, you're high and noble. And yours comes from Irish, it said. All right, I'll get on to the next one in a minute. But let's do St. Elmo's Fire by John Barr. David Foster and John Barr wrote this song specifically for the movie St. Elmo's Fire. But the song itself is about a Canadian athlete named Rick Hansen, who was paralyzed from the waist down after a car crash when he was 15. On March 21st, 1985, Hansen began his Man in Motion tour, traveling about 70 miles a day to raise money for spinal cord research. At first, Hansen had trouble getting media attention and donations, but when the song was released with the movie in June, it became an anthem, and the song rose the charts. Interested in Hansen's journey grew. By the time the Man in Motion tour was completed on May 22nd, 1987, Hansen had put over 40,000 kilometers, 24,856 miles on his wheelchair in 34 countries and four continents, raising $26 million. He became a national hero in Canada, where he is closely associated with this song. That is amazing. Amazing that one person could do all of that. That's just amazing. St. Elmo's Fire, John Barr. Here it is. Thank you, Oz. Thank you, Tulin. Thank you, Fifi. Oh my gosh, Mike, your name means you're like God. Who is like God? That's what your name means. And Bam Bam, your name means the one who honors God. Mr. Ozman, I'm going to see what yours is. I won't say your name. You're a wagon driver. What the hell? We have all these godly ones, and we have a palm tree and a wagon driver. A cart or a wagon. One who makes or drives wagons. Well, we all need one, right? Oh my goodness. Foster, like Hansen, is actually from Canada, Providence of British Columbia. He is a very successful songwriter and producer. We know that. David Foster, he was married to Yolanda from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills back in the day. St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion, John Barr, off the album Dynamite, 1974. St. Elmo's Fire soundtrack, 1985. It would chart number two in the U.S., number one in Canada. I think that's amazing. I kind of remember that movie, The Man in Motion. I don't think I ever watched it, honestly, but I would be interested in seeing it. I think it's amazing that one person can do so much, you know, especially when people look down on you and think that you can't. It's amazing. All right. So the next song that I have, oh, is it the wrong one? No. I think it's the same one. Why is it not A World Without Love? All right, I have two of them on here from the same. Oh, there we go. Okay, I Go to Pieces. I was like, wait a minute. There's two by Peter and Gordon. I Go to Pieces by Peter and Gordon. Is a song written by Del Shannon, which became a top 10 hit for Peter and Gordon in 1965. I Go to Pieces passed to Peter and Gordon when that duo and Del Shannon, along with the Searchers, shared the bill of the Australian tour in the second half of 1964. On one of the tour's venues, Shannon pitched I Go to Pieces to the Searchers, singing it for the group in the dressing room. Peter and Gordon in the dressing room next door overheard Shannon singing I Go to Pieces to the Searchers, who were not interested in it and recognized the song's potential to become a Mersey Beat style hit. Peter and Gordon asked Shannon to let them record it. Peter and Gordon recorded it at Abbey Record Studios, and John Burgess produced, Jeff Love arranged and conducted, as well as Peter and Gordon playing guitars. The session featured guitar player Eddie King on 12-string guitar. Here it is, Peter and Gordon, I Go to Pieces.
When I see her coming down the street, I get so shaky and I feel so weak. I tell my eyes to look the other way, but they don't seem to hear a word I say, and I go to pieces and I want to go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by. I tell my arms to hold someone new.
No, Mike, it won't let me do it. I didn't think so. I think they have to, say something in order for me to block them. It won't let me click on the name.
I remember what she said when she said goodbye, baby.
I don't remember that song, this song. I Go to Pieces, Peter and Gordon, I Go to Pieces, off the album I Go to Pieces, 1964. It would chart number 9 in the U.S. and 21 in Canada. I never heard that one. Then there's another one. The next one is also by Peter and Gordon. Turn Off. A World Without Love is the name of the song. It just says Peter and Gordon were Peter Asher and Gordon Waller. Paul McCartney went out with Asher's sister, the actress Jane Asher, which is how he met Peter. In the 60s, Jane had a famous father and a really famous boyfriend, and some prominent movie roles included the 1966 film Alfie. That's about all I could find about this that was in there about this song. So here is A World Without Love, Peter and Gordon.
Please lock me away and don't allow the day here inside.
Yeah.
Where I hide with my loneliness.
I kind of remember this one. Yeah, Mike, I thought that there was, maybe there's another way to do it, but I tried clicking on the name itself and it wouldn't let me block them.
And rain clouds hide the moon. I'm okay. Here I'll stay with my loneliness. I don't care what they say. I won't stay in a world without love.
Oh yeah, I totally remember this song. I love palm trees too, and you're surrounded by them, mean lady.
I would see
we wish we had palm trees in out here.
When she does, I lose. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness.
So here's a little fact. John Lennon and Paul McCartney actually wrote this song. It is the biggest hit they wrote that was not released by the Beatles. It became the first and biggest hit for Peter and Gordon. A World Without Love, Peter and Gordon, off the album A World Without Love, 1964. It would chart number one in the U.S. and number one in Canada. All right, Peter and Gordon. We're going to move on to Peter, Paul, and Mary. All the Peters are on today. Blowing in the Wind. There's two by them. This is the first one, Blowing in the Wind. Dylan claimed he wrote this song in about, Bob Dylan, that is, in about 10 minutes one afternoon. He put words to the melody of the old slave song called No More Auction Block, which he might have learned from the Carter Family Records. In the evening, Dylan took the song to the nightclub Gertie's Folk City in Greenwich Village, where he was due to play a set. Before playing it, he announced, This here ain't no protest song or anything like that, because I don't write protest songs. I don't know why I'm talking like that. During this first performance, Dylan couldn't read some of his own handwriting and made up some of the lyrics as he went along the way. Here it is, the song Blowing in the Wind by Peter, Paul, and Mary. Here we go.
How many roads must a man walk?
In and out sounds so good, mean lady. That's true. There is palm trees on there. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ozzy. Thank you, BP. Thank you, Tammy.
Before they're forever banned, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
So Dylan gained national exposure when he performed a song with Peter, Paul, and Mary at the 1963 Newport Folk Festival. Magazines like Time, Playboy, and The New Yorker ran stories on Dylan's after the performance. Blowing in the Wind, Peter, Paul, and Mary, off the album The Freewheelin' Bob Dylan, 1963. It would chart number one in U.S. and 25 in Canada. All right, we're going to move on to Leaving on a Jet Plane. God, that one I remember in my childhood. This was written by a very young John Denver, who was then a member of the Chad Mitchell Trio before beginning his solo career in the 70s. Denver wrote this in 1967 during a layover in a Washington airport, not so much from feeling the way for someone, but the longing for having someone to love, he said. The Chad Mitchell Trio recorded the song that year, as did Spanky and Our Gang and Peter, Paul, and Mary. It only became a hit when the latter act covered the song again 2 years later. Here they are, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Leaving on a Jet Plane.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. taxi's wing. He's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll wear your wedding ring.
I'll wear your ring.
So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
So Denver claims that he wasn't a prolific or systematic songwriter. He wrote songs when they came to him. Some of his popular songs took months to complete, but this one took just a few hours for him to finish. Leaving on a Jet Plane, Peter, Paul, and Mary off the album 1700, and it was in 1969. It charted number one in both the U.S. and in Canada. All right, so let's move on. Tom Petty, Free Falling is the song. It's Jeff Lynne, famous for his work with ELO, wrote this song with Tom Petty early in their collaboration. According to the liner notes on Petty's playback box set, he and Lynn were playing some elaborate stuff on the keyboard, and all started with three simple chords. Lynn suggested that Tom stop all the hard stuff and just sing some words to those three chords, and he came up with "She's a Good Girl, Loves Her Mama," just like Mike, and just to make Jeff smile, and it kept going from there. Petty says that it was Lynn who came up with the title, but it took Tom a little while before he figured out the best way to sing the phrase. So here it is, Free Fallin', Tom Petty.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good,
oh, good mean lady.
She's crazy about Elvis. Loves horses.
And a boyfriend, too.
Oh, Osman likes it, too.
And it's a long day. Living in the cedar. There's a freeway. Running through the yard.
Thank you, VP. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you. I keep saying Tammy. Thank you, mean lady. Welcome, BDVM and TAU. Good to have you. Hi. Good to have you. Good to see you. Free balling.
Free falling.
sky. Run a free fall out into nothing. Gonna leave this world for a while.
What did you do too fast? So Tom Petty said Free Fallin' is a very good song. Maybe it'd be one of my favorites if it hadn't become such a huge anthem, he said. But I'm grateful that people like it. Free Fallin', Tom Petty, off the album Full Moon Fever, 1989. It charted number 7 in the U.S. It didn't chart in Canada. They didn't like it. They didn't like Tom Petty out there. Nah, they do. It just didn't chart off of this Wikipedia. So, oh, it's going to play Jetliner again. Nope. Oh, how perfect is this, mean lady? This came on automatically. That is so freaking weird. Oh, I'm not even turning it off. She loves Journey. How can that be more fitting than that? Oh my gosh, it just automatically came on. Oh, that's so weird. That's you, mean lady. Living in a lonely world. Everybody sing.
Just a city boy. Born and raised in South Detroit. Let the midnight train going anywhere.
That is so weird. It is so weird that that happened. Oh my gosh.
A singer in a smoking room. The snow wine and cheap perfume. For a smile that can share a night. It goes on and on and on and on. Waiting up and down the boulevard, their shadows searching in the night. Streetless people, born and raised in the somewhere in the night. Working hard to get my fill. Everybody wants a thrill. Playing anything to roll the dice. Just one more time. Some will win, some will lose.
I love you more, mean lady. You mean the world to me, man.
Never ends, it goes on and on and on and on. Waiting up and down the boulevard, searching in the night. Streetlights, people. Living just a fun emotion. Somewhere in the night.
If that's not somebody up there bigger taking over my thing just for you, mean lady. Man.
Don't stop believing.
I think this has to do with your dad. I think he's sending this just to you, mean lady. I don't think of anything else, man.
Streetlights. Don't stop believing.
He loves you very, very, very much. Don't ever forget that. You and your sisters and your Steve and your daughters and everybody meant the world to him. He was an amazing, amazing man. And I'm so grateful that I was blessed enough to know him and have him be a part of my life. So big hugs for you, mean lady. Big, 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 big hugs. I am going to leave you guys like I always leave you. If I can find it. Oh, it's all the way turned down. You're not going to be able to hear it. Let's turn it up. That's just, I can't get over that. This is just amazing that that song came on. I did not plan it. And it's just, all I can say is, I think it was God who put that on. I really do. I really, really do. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. I tell you all the time, it's going to try to. It will. Just don't let it. Keep smiling. Put that smile on. You got it. Go enjoy your day. Protect your back. Watch the ones you love. This world has become a crazy, crazy place. And if nobody's told you lately, you are loved and appreciated. Have a great day. And I love you guys. Thanks, Osman. Check out your email. I hope that what I sent you, I hope that it works and you're able to get your PayPal and that connected. So, all right, guys, I will be back on Wednesday. Thank you so much for being here. Mean lady, again, I love you. Osman, I know that you're going through the same thing. Much love to you, and I will see you guys later. Bye. Ooh, it's going to be loud.
One, two, three, four.
Hi, hello, Joe.